follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may what? That ye may what? Prophecy. Verse 3 says what? But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men, yes, to edification and exhortation and comfort. Verse 5. I would rather that ye all speak with what? With tongues. But rather, I will prefer that all of you should do what? Should prophesy. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues. Except there is an interpretation that will bring edification to the church, that he that prophesieth is greater than he that speaketh in an unknown tongue. So we used to think that speaking in tongues is the apex. But here he's telling us he that prophesieth is greater, in that he is not only edifying himself. The Bible says he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself. But he that prophesieth, he does what? Edifies the church. So Paul was saying, I want you to speak with tongues. I want you all to blast in tongues. I want you to, you know, speak, communicate in unknown tongues. But I will prefer that when you are in the church, that you prophesy so that everybody will be built up. Everybody will be edified. Because he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For men do not understand him. Are we together? Anytime you pray in tongues or you speak with tongues, you are speaking not unto men, but unto God. It is only God that understands. Because the Bible said that it is only, he said, when I pray in tongues, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Is that correct? That means if I pray in an unknown tongue, I myself that I'm praying it, I do not understand it. So when some people say don't speak in tongues if you don't understand what you are saying, they are wrong. Because Paul is saying, I myself, my understanding is unfruitful about this tongue that I'm speaking. Even me, I don't understand it. But what I do know is that in the spirit, I am speaking mysteries. So he said, when I speak in tongues, I do not speak unto men. So men should not wait for an interpretation. For I am not speaking to them. But when I prophesy, I speak to men. He said, for God understandeth him, that speaketh with tongues. So Paul knew that the problem of this church, Corinthian church, was that everybody, like we have today, when we come to church, everybody wants to speak with tongues. Everybody wants to just, you know, speak with tongues. And it was so unorganized and disorderly. So when Paul came through his letters, he said, I really want all of you to speak with tongues. But instead, in the church, I will rather that have you prophesy so that the body will be built up. So we now understand that tongues is a system in which men can build themselves up. Is that correct? Tongues is a spiritual system in which men can build themselves up spiritually. That you want to develop stamina and stature in the spirit, you have to cultivate the art of speaking and praying in an unknown tongue extensively. You are building up yourself. As it is written in the book of Jude 1 verse 20. He said, but ye beloved, up yourself on your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. He said, when I pray in tongues, my spirit prays. It's not me that is praying. It is my spirit that is praying. So, when I know that you don't take extensive time to pray in the Holy Ghost, I know that you are not ready to grow. But with this system that we are seeing, He's telling us that follow after charity, love, and desire spiritual gift. But I desire that the spiritual gift you will covet is that of prophecy. And I'll show you why. He said, but he that prophesieth, in verse 3, he speaketh unto men for three reasons: for edification, for exhortation, and for comfort. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 39. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. Hello? Covet, desire to prophesy, but don't stop men from speaking with tongues. Most of the denominations that stop people from speaking in tongues, they have not seen this verse. Is that correct? He said, don't forbid men from speaking with tongues. Desire to prophesy, but don't stop men from speaking with tongues. Forbid it not. Inasmuch as they may not be doing it the way you want, forbid it. In the church, desire the gift of prophecy more. But if those that are speaking with tongues, don't stop them. Then he finished in verse 40. Let all things be done decently and in order. Now, I want to establish certain points, salient points. Okay, can we read Acts chapter 21, verse 10? Acts 21, verse 10. Quick. As we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Apollos. What did he say? Continue. When he was come unto us, he took Paul's schedule, who was Paul now, an apostle. Listen, look at the link. Now, he was now referring to an apostle. He collected his schedule, his mantle now. And what did he do with it? And tied his own hands and feet. And said, thus said God, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owns this schedule, and shall deliver him into what? Into the hands of the Gentiles. What was Paul's response? And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place, we besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Listen, so when the word from the prophet came, that Paul, this is what, now listen, every word from the prophet carries power and seriousness. So when they heard it from a certain prophet named Agabus, all of them were so scared. Why were they scared? Because prophetic words are real. When the prophet saw it, believed it, and they wept, and they begged Paul, please Paul, don't go up to Jerusalem. Listen to what the prophet is saying. Now, he was speaking prophetic words to an apostle. And what was his response? Then Paul answered, what do you mean by crying, and you are breaking my heart with your cry? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of Jesus. Now, this is the attitude of an apostle. That these people, although they know their faith, yet they are not scared of the things that will happen to them, because they know their end. And he said that these things that you are telling me, that the Lord has showed me already. Remember, he's not a prophet, but as an apostle, he's a custodian of the peace of God. And he can also tap into the mind of God to understand the things that will happen to him. So he said, God had already told me these things. In fact, in the day that he called me, he told me that I'm going to suffer for his name. So these things that you saw, they are true, but they cannot stop me from going to my destiny. My destiny is to die. the prophet saw was not incorrect. It was his response that I'm still going. I know. Now, this thing that you told me is just for me to be aware and brace up, not for me not to go there. Do you understand? Some prophetic word comes to you not to stop you, not to hinder you, but to make you to brace up, to make you to gather stature and capacity to face predicament that awaits you. Are we together? So, but he that prophesied speaketh unto men to edification, to build them up, and to exhort them, to encourage them. So, certain prophetic word comes to you. The goal of a prophetic word is not just knowledge. There is an exact role that prophetic word comes to do in your life. And he said that one of them is to build you up. The second is to exhort you, that's to encourage you, and to comfort you. So let's just derive these interpretations. So he said that I desire that ye speak with tongues. If we go throughout chapters, chapter 14, you will now see how Paul was correlating tongues with prophecies. Are we together? Now there are for someone prophet, he has to first of all master at least three revelatory gifts, two revelatory gifts and one utterance. Especially, either the prophet must master the word of knowledge and discerning of spirit plus prophecy for him to assume the office of a prophet. I have said that it is possible to prophesy and not be a prophet. Do you understand? You are not a prophet, but you can prophesy. But it is another thing to be in the office of a prophet. Anybody can have the gift of prophecy. Anybody can have the gift of the word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirit. But it takes a prophet, a called prophet, to assume the office and the ministry of a prophet. And for you to function in the office of the prophet, you have to be consistent in the gifts of the word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirit, and prophecy. These four gifts, you have to work in it consistently. There is a difference between having money and being rich. Everybody can have money. Not everybody that can be rich. Is that correct? Right now, you are sitting down, you have money. But are you rich? Don't say in the spirit. Wait. No. Don't say in the spirit. If you are rich, you know. You can be rich in the spirit. Okay, it's okay. I understand. I'm talking about riches. Do you understand? So, you can have money and not be rich, but you have it. That means a rich man has money, you too, you have money. But the difference between you and the rich man is the abundance and the consistency of the inflow of cash. Do you understand? The abundance and the consistency of income that comes to him and the amount. So you cannot measure 20 million and 20,000. Is that correct? You can have 20,000. You say I have money, but you cannot have 20,000 and say I'm rich. So it is possible that you can have words of prophecy in your mouth. You can tap into the prophetic and prophesy one or two people. You prophesy some days. Sometimes you prophesy, but it doesn't make you a prophet until you consistently walk in those three gifts of the Spirit. Hallelujah. So, and there are three vocal gifts. I said it that day. We have the tongues, right? We have the interpretation of tongues. And we have what? We have prophecy. We have tongues. We have interpretation of tongues. And we have what? prophecy. So what is tongues? Tongues are inspired utterances in an unknown tongue. Write it like that. Tongues are inspired utterances. They are utterances that are inspired, not formed. They are utterances that are inspired by the Holy Spirit, not formed, in an unknown tongue. Number two, prophecies is inspired utterance in a known tongue. Prophecy is inspired utterance, but this time around, in a what? In a known tongue. Tongues is inspired utterance in an unknown tongue. But prophecy is inspired utterance in a known tongue. Now, interpretation of tongues is inspired utterance in your own language to give forth that which was spoken in tongues. That means prophecy. That means tongues that have been interpreted is prophecy. That means if somebody gives tongues and it contains message and somebody interprets that, it automatically becomes prophecy. And then you can have prophecy direct. Are we together? So I've said that there is a difference between the gift of prophecy and the prophetic office. It is one thing to prophesy and completely another thing to just have a prophetic ministry. Hallelujah. The prophetic ministry is a call. It's an office. The prophetic ministry is a call. It's an office. So in 1 Corinthians 12 verse 28, 1 Corinthians 12 verse 28, what does he say? He said, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers. Can you see the hierarchy? He said, God has set the church, according to this rendition, first apostles, second what? Prophets. And then teachers. And why did he set them? So in Ephesians, he said, and he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some teachers, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, the edifying of the body of Christ. So all of them have one job, and that is to build. Whatever an apostle is doing is to build. Whatever it is doing is to build. It is not to tear down. It's to bring edification. But tonight we are going to see a specification of the job of a prophet or a prophetess. Now, there is a difference between the Old Testament prophet and the New Testament prophet. But the prophetic office is the oldest office in scriptures. The prophetic office is the oldest office in scriptures. Because before apostles only came in the time of Jesus. It was Jesus that first introduced it. They were not in existence. Evangelists were not there. But they were pastors. They were called shepherds. They were teachers. They were called scribes. They were prophets. Is that correct? But the prophetic office is the oldest. Has been there. Because God started talking with men. God started speaking with men. Started talking with people like Enoch. The Bible said Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. Enoch started receiving revelation. Started receiving dreams and visions. Seeing things. So we saw that all the works of God in the Old Testament, God walking with prophets, showing them in visions and dreams, giving them revelation about his plans, about his purposes, about his agenda on the face of the earth, about the things he wants to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, to buttress the point of someone being a prophet, a called prophet, and just walking in the gift of prophecy, we can see in the book of Acts chapter 21, Paul and his companions, they were on their way to a particular place. Then they entered into the house of an evangelist called Philip. Philip the evangelist. In that chapter, the Bible said when they entered into the house, He said that Philip the evangelist, he had daughters which prophesied. Is that what he says? His daughter prophesied. But he didn't say he had daughters who were prophetesses. The daughters prophesied, but they were not prophetesses. That was not their office, but they could prophesy. So you can see women there prophesying. Hello. Ladies, are you hearing me? Yeah, they are not here. Ladies, are you hearing me? You can see them there. They prophesied. He had daughters which prophesied. But in that same chapter, the next verse, he said, but when Agabus, the prophet, he didn't say Agabus that prophesied. He said Agabus, the prophet. So he himself was not just prophesying or working in the gift of prophecy, but he was sitting in the office of a prophet. That was his office. Anything about prophecy, you meet Agabus. Anything about seeing, sign, visions, dreams, revelation, interpretation, signs, you know, and all that. He's a master in that. And I'll tell you very well why we have and we should keep on having prophets, and why God first of all started working with them in the first place and will continue to work with prophets. Till Jesus come, prophet must be in existence. Prophetic office will not be done away with, because it is a vital part of the church. It's a vital part of the agenda of God. Why? Why? In Amos chapter 3 verse 7, look at the necessity of prophets. In Amos chapter 3 verse 7, he says, surely the Lord will do nothing but will, but he reveals his what? His secrets to his servants, the prophets. Not the apostles, not pastors, not the teachers. He says, surely the Lord will do nothing until he tells his servant, the prophet. So we see the book of Genesis, God speaking. God wanted to do something in Sodom, but he said, shall I do this thing without telling my servant Abraham? Abraham was a prophet, because he said the Lord will do nothing. That means in the body of Christ, in Bethel Baptist High School, God will not do anything until he first of all reveal it. Did somebody get what I'm saying? Something will not happen until God shows it to somebody. God will see it happening, and then God will send a signal to prophets. That means if calamity falls on the body of Christ, we should not blame the apostles, we should not blame the pastors or evangelists or teachers, we should blame the prophets, because prophets represent the eyes of the church. They are the ones to stand and see what is coming. Like Habakkuk said in the book of Habakkuk 3, he said, I will stand upon my watch and I will see. So prophets are watch Thomas, that they stand to watch and see what God wants to say to his people. So any calamity that will come, God will show it to the prophets. So it is left for the prophet to see correctly. That's why you will see sometimes God will show something and we say, son of man, what do you see? Have you read it before? Son of man, in the book of Zechariah, what do you see? He said, I see an almond tree. And he said, you have seen correctly. So it is possible that God can show a prophet something and he does not see correctly. God will show him A, but he sees something like E. So the interpretation is incorrect. But he got a message, but he didn't receive it well. So a calamity will happen. So could it be that in the nights before the invasion at Bethel Baptist High School, God must have shown some people through dreams or visions or revelations, or by discernment they know, but they were not sensitive to it? Because prophets are people that God gives message to go and deliver. So it is possible that God might have given a message and said, go to Bethel Baptist High School, warn them on so day, evacuate the student or bring security men. But there were no prophets. No prophets. In your life, it is possible that on the day that in other people's life, not your own, in the day that they want to kidnap the person, God must have shown a prophet. Say, the prophet will call him and say, so and so is about to happen. all of you don't sleep in house tonight. But because they do not have a prophet. The Bible said in 1 Chronicles 20:20, he said, believe in the Lord your God and you shall be established. Believe in his prophet. Shall what? Prosper. So prophets, prophetic radars, spiritual radars. Radars are technologies, are technologies that are used to decipher a threat that has been sent from the camp of the enemy into a particular territory. Nations, advanced nations like Israel, like USA and all of that, they have what they call radar that they place in the atmosphere that any drone or whatever that is coming, it will discern it and immediately send a signal, and then they will counter attack it. So these are the jobs of prophets in the church, that they see, they interpret signs, they interpret signs that God gives in order to find out the mind of God. So in the church, we do not really want to have only apostles, because if apostles were enough, God wouldn't have sent the prophets. If the pastors were enough, he wouldn't have sent anybody else. Are we together? You are going to see something this night. So the thing of his, or the goal of prophets, is not just awareness, but to find a way to get solutions to the problem that they have seen, or to show it, to reveal it to the body. In Matthew 23:34, the Bible said, Jesus said, behold, I am sending you prophets and wise men and scribes. So Jesus knew that apart from his apostles, he knew the importance of prophets. So he said, I am sending you those who are called prophets. I know you will have apostles. I know you will have teachers and evangelists. But the necessity of prophets, I am going to send you prophets who will be your eyes. Because you might be carried away with some things and not know that an impending danger is approaching. But the prophet that has sensitivity to capture it in the realm of the spirit, even before you discern it, they have seen it, and they will send an alert to the body of Christ. This and this and that is what is about to happen. Listen, so in 2014-2015, God sent a prophet with the name of Pastor Emmanuel Bosu. We do not recognize that this man carries a prophetic dimension of God, that he was able to see into the future of Nigeria, downloaded messages and warned Nigeria, don't elect these people, don't choose these men, they are planning to Islamize, they are going to have this and this, and everything that he was saying, people were trivializing it. Is that correct? People were saying, it's just this, it's just that, and this and that. And now, after it had happened, everybody was now referring back to Pastor Emmanuel Bosun's message. God sent him and said, go and warn the church in Nigeria. From Turkey, God sent him with that message. He came to Nigeria and told a specific group of people. But the people did not believe it. Old time people. God will send prophets to warn them, but they will not listen. And here we are today. We are crying. We are praying. Whereas, when God sent the warning, we didn't heed to it. So the prophets did their job. Not only him, God has sent people. I remember we're part of the people who were talking about this government. I said, no matter what, don't try to elect this government. No matter the evil of that old regime, it is better. Some said, no. The Lord will do nothing, but reveal it to his servants, the prophets. So don't say, God, were you not seeing? He was seen. He showed the prophets. Either the prophets were asleep, or they were not sensitive, or their warning were not taking heed. But those of you that are prophet by ordination, it is time for you to arise, position your spirit, and receive signal in the name of the spirit. Listen. Jesus said, I will send you prophets. He knew the importance, the necessity of these offices. That there are people who will just sit down. They are robbing the mind of God. Find out God wants to do. To find out the mind of God. The Bible says, who had known the mind of God that he should instruct? Say, but we have the mind of God. Hallelujah. Let me show you something. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. This message I'm preaching, I'm not just preaching to sitting down here. It is a message for the whole world to hear. And understand the necessity of prophets in these last days. Prophets will never be realized. If you are a prophet and you are sensing the prophetic call of God upon your life, it is time for you to awake. It's time for you to arise and know that there is a call. It's time for you to awake. Awake into your ordination. Awake into your destiny. Are we there? Deuteronomy 28 verse 1, read. And it shall come to pass, thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Now, listen. The first thing he said to do what? Hearken diligently to what? The voice of the Lord. And to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command you this day. Listen, it's okay. Now, you can see in this verse, two things were mentioned. That first of all, you need to listen, hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord, and two, observe to do his commandments. Follow this. I think you should reduce the keyboard a little, just little. The voice of the Lord and the commandments of God. Look at this. So there is the voice of the Lord and the commandments of the Lord. The commandment of the Lord is the law of Moses and all the things that were written for us as an example. The scriptures are the commandment of God. Are we together? Now, this was Joshua. Is it Joshua? No, this was Moses speaking. Now, remember that Moses had already collected the book of the law. Is that correct? The book of the law contained detailed instructions. There were certain instructions that were inside the book of the law, almost containing all ordinances on how to bath, on how to cook, what to eat, what to wear, how to behave. Are we together? All of these things, the commandments about relating with God and men. Thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that. So all these commandments were already given to Moses. So we will say that the template for what God wants has already been given. But yes, it was not sufficient. There was something else that the people need to hearken diligently to, which is what? The voice of the Lord. So you can have the commandments of the Lord, but the commandments of the Lord is not enough for you to walk upon the face of this earth. The Bible itself, right now, even with the New Testament and everything contained, is not enough for you to walk with it alone in this earth. Although the Bible contains the mind of God and everything he wants us to do, but we know that the scriptures does not contain everything. The scriptures does not contain. So there are specific instructions from the Lord that were not covered in the book of the law. There were specific instructions about your life, about the church, about happenings that were not covered in this scripture. And for that reason, we need the voice of the Lord. Are you getting my point? So, as important as the law of Moses was, it was not exhaustive. It was not it was not enough to cover all the aspects of life, of every major decision. Is that correct? Some decisions you are going to take in life, is it written in the Bible? Things like where to school, where to go to school, the school to go to, things like your job, right? Things like what? Marriage, who to marry. Is it written in the Bible? Answer me now. Things like the business you should engage in. Is it written in scriptures? Now, so there are things like the office you are to assume in the church. Things like what to do after school. What do you do? Is it written in the Bible? If something is missing in your life, maybe you lost something. Is it written in the Bible where you go and find it? For example, what will happen to you tomorrow if you go to your place of work? Is it written in the Bible? So you have the commandment of the Lord, but you don't have the voice. It is the commandment of the Lord that is the basis, that stands as the bedrock for whatever the voice of the Lord will tell you. Are we together? Now, so the role of the prophetic is to be the voice of the Lord to men. So the prophet and prophetic office is standing there to represent the voice of the Lord in matters where it is not captured in scriptures. Are you with me? In matters that are not captured in the Bible, the prophetic office is there to stand, to receive signals, to enter into the mind of God and into the mind of the Spirit, to start out deep things and bring it to men as instructions, to start it out in the realm of dreams and visions and revelations and all of that. Peter was sleeping one day, and he had always been scared of mingling with the Gentiles. So while he was sleeping, God knew that it was not written that he should go and meet somebody. So God had to use the prophetic to talk to Peter. He came through dream. Peter was sleeping and he had a trance. And he saw a large sheet appear and all kinds of unclean animals on it. And the voice said, "Peter, rise up and eat. Kill and eat." And Peter said, "No, I have never eaten anything unclean in my life." And the voice said to him, "Do not call unclean what I have made clean." Now, so he said, this and that. "Rise up and go to so-so place. You shall meet a man called Cornelius. And this and this you shall do to him." The moment he woke up, already while he was having his dream, Cornelius also had his own encounter through the prophetic. Is that correct? He also saw it, that he should go and find a person called Peter in a so-so and so-so place. Was it written in the Bible? Now, if this one is written in the Bible, but as at that time, there was no Bible. Is that correct? As at that time, there was no Bible. So what will be the guiding light? So that to use the prophetic in order to tell them the things that were not captured in scriptures. So Cornelius sent to the place Simon the Tanner by the seaside. So the moment they got there, Peter too awoke from his dream. He opened the door and he said, "We were sent by Cornelius." He said, "I saw the man too in my dream. Let us go." So Moses said that thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord. We see in the Old Testament how that men of old, they did nothing. Those who relied, they know the power of the prophetic. They did nothing. They went nowhere without a prophetic word. Although they had the Ten Commandments, they had all these instructions, rituals and all that written by Moses. If they were going to war, David will not go and open his Bible. Is that correct? And I say, no, he will send for a prophet. Either Nathan or catch the prophet and say, "What saith the Lord? Shall I pursue? Shall I not pursue? Should I go to this war or not?" And you say, "Pursue or don't." So we can still see, in still the life of David, we said that so the prophetic office should not be trivialized because it is the instrument by which God communicates his deep intentions to men. The things that were not captured, really. But now listen, no prophet's word should ever supersede or override or be above the authority of scriptures. Hello? No prophetic word that should come to you that should supersede the scriptures. Because every prophetic word you should receive from a prophet must align with the written word. Are we together? So a proper relationship with God will demand that a man should obey both the voice of the Lord and the word of God, the logos of God. Now, do you know that if God just say, okay, everything I want to do on earth, he will write it on a sheet, on paper, or on volumes of books, and then give it to man, and say, whatever you want to do on earth, just use it. Do you know that life will be boring? Eh? You want to do something, you have to go and open book. Open, and imagine the quantity of book, the pages of everything you will do in life. Imagine God wrote it for you and gave it and said, Patrick, this is everything you need to do in this life. Just check this book, is there. Now, let's imagine a man gets married to a woman, and then as the bride now, he said, honey, this book, take. Anytime you want to talk to me or hear what I want to say, read this book. Whatever I want to say is inside. Anything you want to know about me, check here. So that we don't have to be talking every time. Not even every time. We don't have to talk again. Anything you want, check this book. How will that relationship be like? Will that marriage be nice? So you don't need to talk to your husband again, because if you want to ask him, where is this? Inside the book. Sweetheart, what do you say concerning this? Don't ask me, check the book. Are you getting the point? So the prophetic, the voice of the Lord is meant in order to keep communication going between the bride and the groom, between us and God, such that we do not have to always rely on this book to communicate with God or to know what God wants, such that it will help us, enable us, it will push a hunger in our hearts to always want to know what he wants to say to us, to always know his intentions and his desires, apart from what is written or in correspondence to what is written. So it is important. Now the office of a prophet carries with them a reward. As it is written in the book of Matthew 10 verse 41. He said, he that welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet shall have what? Shall have a what? A prophet's reward. So there is a reward that a prophet has. That anytime a prophet comes into your life and you welcome him as such, there is a reward you get. Kings were not cheated in those days, especially kings that relied on the voice of the Lord through the word of God, through the man of God, through the prophet. They were not cheated. Imagine in your time you have Elisha. Imagine in our days we have Elisha the prophet. The Bible says Elisha will sit down in his room and he will hear what the enemy are planning against Israel, and he will send to the king of Israel and say, don't follow that road, don't follow that way, don't do this and do that. He said, for the king of Samaria has planned this and that, so follow that way. And when they come, they will not find them there. He kept on doing like that. The king of Samaria one day gathered the people. He said, who among us is betraying us? Who among us is leaking our secret? He said, I need to find that person. And then they looked. One man said, sir, nobody is betraying you. It is Elisha the prophet that is sitting down in his room. And from his room, he is hearing every of our conversation. Where are you, prophets? Prophetesses, where are we? Prophets, where are you in this place? The Bible says Elisha was in his room. And Gehazi went to collect something from Naaman. He did not know that the prophet had seen him. So he went and collected the money and came back and pretended. Say, Elisha, Gehazi, where are you coming from? He said, ah, so I went nowhere. I was just, you know the way some of you, they say, where are you coming from? He say, I'm nowhere. I did not go anywhere. What did you do? Nothing. Nothing, nowhere. So Gehazi too did like that. Where are you coming from, sir? I went nowhere. I was just outside. I just came in. Say, okay. He said, it was not my spirit with you. Ah! The spirit of a prophet can travel. While the prophet is sleeping or lying down, his spirit can travel and follow into the place that God wants him to see. Into the things that even him, the prophet, wants to see or know. So sometimes you will be at home doing the things thinking that nobody is seeing you. The spirit of a prophet is following you. So if it was not my spirit with you when you went out to meet that man and collected things from him, and you were surprised. How did you know? How did you know? So that's why sometimes when God opens up the prophetic vistas for us and we are able to see, we can tell you that on so day, this and that happened to you. This thing is almost happening. And this, are you getting what I'm saying? Although we were not there, but we are able to tap into the mind of God, into the spirit realm, to fetch out some details that are hidden from the common man. So that at sight, you have not told us your name, we can still discern. By the prophetic, your name can be coded. In the church today, I was ministering, and the moment I just said name, and I called the names, and they came up, and exactly the things I asked them. Is that correct? Those of you in church. It's not because I know it. As at that time, I did not know anything, but by the mind of God, programming your spirit. That means going into what you want to see. A prophet can program and say, I want to see this and that. And you will be able to travel. And you know there is growth in the prophetic office. So it is level, one level to the other. You grow into that office. So as God continues to open us up, there are certain details about your life that God will open us up. You may not know. Some of you, sometimes you want to tell me something, I will say I know already. One time Jehoshaphat and Ahab were about to go to war against a particular king. They gathered themselves together and all that. And as they were about to go, Jehoshaphat said, no, is there not a prophet that we can inquire from? We should not just go and die like fools. Why should we just go to into battle? Let somebody see it for us. Is there not a prophet that we can inquire of the Lord before going into this battle? They have said, there's one like that. I don't like him. No, sorry, before then, when he said, is there not a prophet? He gathered all the prophets of Baal. Plenty prophets who were telling him the things that he want to hear. Joseph was not satisfied. I don't believe these ones. Is there not a prophet of the Lord in which we may inquire? He said, there is one like that. Kaya, that one used to cause me trouble. That one does not give me any good prophecy. Always bad things. He prophesied bad things. I don't like him. He said, call him. Joseph, I said, call him. That's the one I want. Call him. When Micaiah showed up, he said, I swear that only the truth will I say. Because they asked him, swear to me that you will tell me only what the Lord showed you. And he said, I swear, only what I see will I see. And then he began to prophesy. He said, if the Lord sends me, you shall not go back to this battle. Say, you see, I told you. And then, listen, when he was speaking the words that God had showed him, somebody called him Zechariah. One Ananias. Ananias stood up and slapped him and said, when did the Spirit of the Lord pass me to you to tell you what he's supposed to tell me? You know, there are people that feel that they are the only ones that God can talk to. So if peradventure God talks to you, it looks like it's a mistake. Say, shut up, liar. God does not pass me to tell anybody anything. And then Micaiah looked at him. And then he told the king, as he was standing right there, his eyes were opened. He said, I see God sitting on his throne and spirits gathered, elders. They were having meeting in the heavens. So he said, I see they are meeting, and the Lord is asking the people, who shall go to Ahab and deceive him? He said, who shall go? I need somebody to take Ahab into the battlefield. I want to kill this man. So Micaiah was downloading what was happening in the realm of the spirit before this time to tell him that this was actually what happened that made this battle to come to reality. So he said, I see God meeting in heaven and elders surrounding his throne, and he's asking them, what shall be done? Who shall? Somebody should give me an idea. Well, what do we need to do to Ahab? I want to kill him. And the Bible said, and a lion spirit came out. That's in heaven, no? He said, and a spirit came out and said, I shall go. And God said, okay, how are you going to do it? Elisha, Micaiah was on earth. He was seeing the meeting that happened where? Right there. He was tapping into the spirit realm to see. Prophets have eyes of eagles. An eagle can see right from distant kilometers and see even to the most minute details that is on the ground. That's why an eagle can see a little bird on the ground, a little chick or chicken or anything, up from thousands of kilometers above the sky. He will picture it clearly. Prophets are supposed to be like, have eyes of eagles that ordinary mortals do not have, that they can enter into the mind of God and search out things and bring out the things that God has in his mind to tell the people. So he said, I see God. And the lion spirit came out. He said, I will go. I will be a lion spirit in the mouth of all his prophets to deceive him to go to battle. And that was what had already happened. No? Is that not it? Because all the lion spirits already came. They told him, all the prophets, they lied. They say, okay, God, the Lord will give you back victory. All lied to him. Micaiah decoded that revelation and told him. You see, I told you, this man does not prophesy good things to me, only bad things. This man. And he tied the prophet. And then the prophet told him, if you come back to this battle alive, then the Lord has not sent me. Instead of him to kneel down and beg, he said, lock him up. Come on now. And Ahab entered into battle. They exchanged their armor. He wore the armor of Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat wore his own. They thought that the people would be confused. So while they were in the battlefield, people were chasing Jehoshaphat, thinking it was Ahab. Jehoshaphat saw that. They thought he was Ahab. And he started shouting. He removed his seat. He said, it's me, Jehoshaphat. Don't kill me. I did not come yet. Don't kill me. When they saw it was him, the Bible said they stopped pursuing him. And then, where is Ahab now? Nobody knew. Then the Bible said somebody just stood somewhere and shot a random arrow. Shot the arrow. And the arrow went and met Ahab straight by his side. F- for a if it is a genuine prophet that gives the word, wherever you are, it will trace you. You know the way Donald Trump sent a missile from America into Iran that killed that terrorist. The drone followed him. The drone can follow corners. It can be programmed. You know the way they are programming this drone camera. Some of you are not in this world. You don't know. Drone can be programmed here like this. From Nasarawa, they can, if it is very charged, they can program it to video everything. To enter into this, to this door like this. It will enter the door. Come here. Who have that camera soon in Jesus' name? Did not believe. Oh, nobody will need to come and stand like this. No. The camera itself. Somebody will just be programming it from the back. Just be following. Be capturing. It will not distract you. You just see it. Except if you are, of course, you'll be distracted if you are seeing it for the first time. Because the thing is coming like, so the prophetic word was following him until he died. So at another time, Jehoshaphat was about to go to war. He still inquired. He inquired. And then the Bible said, the Spirit of the Lord entered a Levite. Called Ahaz something. And then he encouraged them. He said, do not fear, for the battle is not yours, but the Lord. For the Lord shall give you victory. He said, go. You will not need to fight. You will only stand and see the victory of the Lord. And they entered into battle. And that was, they receive instructions. They receive counsel. So prophets like Moses were able to know the mind of God, ordinances, laws, rules, regulations for the people of God that became eternal ordinances that men had to follow. And there are categories of prophets. All prophets are not the same. The Bible said, he told Miriam and Aaron that if I want to talk to you, if there are prophets among you, and I will talk to you through visions and dreams. But concerning my servant, it is not so. For I speak with him face to face. And he saw my back parts. Saw my back parts. Hallelujah. Are you blessed? Are you getting this? So, all you need to do with prophets, as it is written in scriptures, 2 Chronicles 20:20. Believe in your prophets and you shall prosper. All the people that took heed to the words of the prophets prospered in scriptures. The Bible said by a prophet. So prophets in the Old Testament were men that God used to bring his people out from captivity. They took the people by hand and led them out of their captivity. Led them out of their sicknesses. For Hezekiah, God used the prophet Isaiah. Sent him a message. After Hezekiah prayed, God sent back that prophet and gave him instruction on what to do to be healed. And he got out of his affliction. Believe in the Lord, you shall be established. Believe in his prophet and you shall prosper. Your prosperity, he said, by his prophet, he led them out of Egypt. And by his prophet, by prophet, so in the New Testament dispensation, they did not function exactly. But in the New Testament, prophets also have these ordinations that they can bring word. And there are categories. There are time frame of prophets. So prophets come with the word of the Lord. They come with two different categories of words of the season. So the first one is word of the moment. The second is word of the season. Word of the moment and word of the season. Now, this word of the moment could be spontaneous utterances from the mind of the Spirit that a prophet, usually, someone who is not a called prophet can also have this word of the moment that you can just be given a prophetic word just at any time. Like word of knowledge, I can tell you something about yourself, I can tell you about what's going to happen tomorrow or something like that. These are spontaneous movements of the prophetic. They are momentary. Seasonal, they are momentary prophetic words. And the second division of that is the seasonal words. Words of the season. That this one, this word of the season is mostly delivered by a called prophet. Somebody who is in the office of a prophet is the one that can deliver this word of the season. Because they have been able to stay in the place of prayer, in intimacy, and tap into the mind of God for the season. And know what God is doing in a season. And what God is doing for the moment, they are able to know, and they will bring it to the church and say, God is doing this in this season. There will be elevation. This and this is going to happen. But the Lord has taken care of it in this. This is what the church needs to do. And this and this and that. Prophet needs to be able. This one, it could be delivered by somebody who is working in the prophetic gift. But mostly, it is them that are in the office that can decipher these things that God wants to do in a season. Seasonal manifestations. Not everybody can tap into that reality. But he that is sent as a and understand his ordination to stay in the place of prayer and tap into the mind of God. Prophet, arise. Arise, go back into the place of the place where you can meet your sender. To the place where the man that shows vision and revelation can show you things to come. You are having your call as a prophet, woman of God. Young lady, go back to that place. The Bible said in the book of Daniel chapter 9, he said, I, Daniel, understood by books. I understood by books. But there were other times that he said, I had a dream. I saw by my visions of the night, I saw a ram coming out with four horns. And a goat began to give all those instructions. And said, the king of the north, the king of the south. Ah, Daniel was able to tap into the mind of God, not only for a season, but for a generation. Daniel saw what was going to happen from his days until our own time, until the time that Jesus will show up for the last time. Talk about the king of the south, the king of the north. He said, when he saw in the book of Daniel chapter 3 or chapter 2, where he saw the golden image of Nebuchadnezzar, and saw that the image had a head of gold and shoulder of silver, and he had what now? An iron. And he said the legs were made of iron, but the feet were made of partly clay and partly iron. He gave the breakdown. He said, so he said that the anoint my eyes with eyesight that I may see. My generation cannot fall for nothing because I am blind as a prophet. Open my eyes. Let me see what Daniel saw. Open my eyes like John the Revelator in the island of Patmos. Let me be able to tap into the realities of God. Ikopelekonimana. I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. And the angel appeared to me. And he said, come up here, and I will show you things to come. Come up here, and I will show you things that are to come. Anoint my eyes with eyesight that I may see. Anoint my eyes. Young lady, are you sensing the prophetic call of God going for your life? Young man, are you sensing the prophetic call? The Lord will do nothing until he tells me. The Lord will do nothing until he tells me. Prophets were angry in their time if something happened and God did not tell them. Why are you not angry that 180 students were kidnapped from a school and you did not know? Baba balakata bakata sampa esokete peketala. I must know the mind of God. I must tap into the realities of God. Shakoke peleketela. Inama Saba Ekotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokotokot In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Listen up. I would have preferred we extend this teaching on the prophetic to next week. But I just thought we need to just finish it up. Because listen, there are scarcity of genuine prophets. We are not talking of predictors. We are not talking of people who just come, I see your phone number, this and that. We are talking about things that will happen that have implication on the body, that have implication on families, that prophets need to arrive and solve. We are talking of genuine prophets that will stop the flow of sin in the church. My eyes must not be blind. I must not be blind. My eyes are open. My eyes are open. My eyes are open. Young lady, arise as the prophetess that you are. You are a prophetess, my sister. You are a prophetess, my brother. You are a prophet. Arise, arise. In Jesus' name, please sit down. Sit down, please. Please sit down. We have a lot to do next week. We cannot afford to extend it. Sit down. Please pardon us. Pardon us again. Pardon us again. Please. So could it be that it was you that was supposed to deliver a message to the principal of Bethel Baptist High School, but your eyes were closed? Your ears were closed. They planned to ambush the Israelites. Elisha saw it and he told the king. Here we are. We say we are prophets, but it's only phone numbers we can prophesy. We say we are prophets, but it's only the color of clothes that somebody is wearing that we can do. Prophecy is beyond that. Prophecy is beyond that. Until my only gaze is you, Spirit is brooding over me.
till I look more like you. Until my only day is you, Spirit is put in all of me. Till I look more like you. Hey! Until my only life is you, Spirit is put in all of me. Till I look more like you.
Spirit keep brooding over me till I look more like
in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we pray. So now listen. In Jesus' name. See, we are going to pray. Listen. So, the Bible said that he that prophesies speaketh unto men to edification, to exhortation, and to comfort. So, listen. There are six categories of prophetic words. Number one, the words of edification. You are writing words of edification. I'm going to be fast so that we continue in the spirit of prayer that will activate the prophetic grace on your life. Let's round it up. Words of edification are words and prophetic words that build men up. They can come in form of sermons. They can come in form of word of knowledge and word of wisdom that tells men secret things of God to build up their faith. Number two, words of exhortation. These are words that motivate or renew the spirit of a man that is about to give up. So listen, there are days when you can be down in your spirit. You feel like giving up. You feel like you can't continue. And God will send a prophet your way and say, continue, continue, for a time is coming. Though the vision tarries, the vision may tarry. Wait for it. Word of exhortation. They are words that motivate you to continue. Listen now, in Jesus' name. There were many times in this journey of ministry that I thought of giving up. But suddenly a prophet will appear and say, the Lord said, you should. The next word is the word of comfort. I will join them together to give you an illustration. One time like that, I was coming back from Nastarawa. I gave up that time in the ministry. We were not to reach 20, we were suffering to reach 20. I was tired. That was in 2016 earlier. I was coming from Nasarawa and then I followed this back of this welding company. I refused to even take bike. I was tired of everything. As I came close to that company, one prophet I knew, he met me. He said, man of God, I saw you. The Lord showed me something about you. He said, don't give up now. He said, what I'm going to do for you in the years to come, not far from now. He said, even you will marvel at what you will become. And men will come and study you to find out what became of you. That was in 2016 when I did not see anything like this. A prophet showed up and encouraged me and made me to stay my heart and kept my feet going. Could it be that man that is about to give up, you are the prophet that was supposed to hear and go to give words of exhortation and comfort? And comfort him. God told Isaiah the prophet in the book of Isaiah chapter 40 or 45 thereabout. He said, comfort, comfort my people. Comfort them. Comfort Zion. Zion that is about to give up. Comfort her. Words of prophecy come in order to comfort men and bring them up and make them to continue running the race. Although they are tired, although they are weak, although they are falling short. Maybe somebody who has been dilapidated by sin, by iniquity, he feels that he's not unworthy. But a prophetic call can make him to wake up and get up on his feet. But we do not have prophets again. We do not have men that are willing to wake men up. Words of exhortation and comfort. The Lord shall comfort Zion. The Lord shall comfort the Zion. The Holy Hill.
Oh! Oh!
truth. Listen. The next word is predictive words. It's a word that foretell events that before something will happen, that prophets will go with a word and say this and this is about to happen. God is about to promote you. God is about to do this. Or Satan want to kill you. The devil want to do this. Or there is a woman that is about to come into your life. She's about to bring destruction. Don't welcome her. There is a man that will come into your life. That is not the man sent from God. A prophetic word can come like that. These are predictive words. Next word is word of direction. These are things that give men direction on the next step to take in life. What do we do? This and that aspect of our life. It is words of direction from the prophet. In those days, men did not until there was a word from the prophet. But because of scarcity of prophets, men are perishing and languishing in pain for nothing. What prophet could solve? What prophetess is tough? Number 6, words of rebuke. These are words that point out sin in the life of a man. That when a man is misbehaving, God may send a prophet and say, you, the Lord is warning you concerning this and that, so that you don't continue. We saw it in the life of David. David was a king. He killed Uriah. He took his wife. Nobody could rebuke David. Nobody. Nobody. Nobody could talk to David. And God sent a prophet in the name of Nathan. And Nathan came to him. And with wisdom, Nathan gave him a story. Say, what shall be done to a man like this? A man that stole away somebody's only goat. Even though he asked about 10. But he stole somebody's goat to give visitors. David said, this man should be killed. He said, oh king, you are that man. Oh king, you are that man. Who are the prophets that will go and warn Erubai? I don't mean noisemakers. I don't mean talkers that will say things and not come to pass. In the days of prophet Archbishop Benson Itaosa, they will go to Abacha and say, Abacha, I am not here to pay homage. I am here to warn you. In so and so time, if you don't do this, this will happen to you. Abacha, the prophet was joking. In a matter of days, Abacha appeared in heaven. By the word of a prophet. Words of rebuke. He rebuked David. And that was when David came back to his knees. And said, oh God, I have sinned. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not thy Holy Ghost from me. Restore unto me the joy of salvation. Because the prophet was able to come and warn him. You are that prophetess that God is expecting to take a word and warn his people. It is important that you understand. We have ascended into a height, so I won't want to drop. But I've told you some things. Now, in as much as we want prophetic words do not come without being judged. There is need for prophetic words to be judged. The Bible said we should judge prophecies. That when you come and there are 3 prophets in a house, one prophet should speak and 2 others should judge the prophecies and see if it is correct, if it aligns with the mind of God. So that you are a prophet doesn't mean you just talk like that. The prophetic word should be judged. And there are 3 criteria in which God gave that a prophetic word should be judged. Please, I'm trying to do that so that we just cap it off. Next week we talk about the evangelist. Some of you will think that there's nothing new about evangelists. Hey, next week, we will have evangelists that will run on the streets. After you hear this message of next week. So how do we judge prophetic words? Because prophetic words, in as much as they are good, but sometimes, because prophetic word comes from three realms. From the mind of God, from the mind of human, and from the mind of demons. They can be inspired. God can inspire prophecies. Your mind can inspire prophecies. And the mind of demons, demons can inspire prophetic words. So they have to be judged. So sometimes, okay, there are three tests to the validity of prophetic words. In Deuteronomy 18 verse 21, check, write that. I will read it, don't need to read it. If thou shalt say in thy heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has said is true? That means how can we confirm if a prophetic word is true? In that verse, that is how you will know. When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing come to pass, thou shalt know that the Lord has spoken. But if it doesn't come to pass, you will know that the prophet had only spoken presumptuously. So in a nutshell, if a prophet says a thing and it comes to pass, know that it is from God. Now, but look at it. That is not all. Because we will now see that the first part, that a prophetic word come to pass. It's a validity. It's a sign that the prophetic word is from God. But that is not all. For scripture must test scriptures. Do you understand? You don't use one scripture to establish a doctrine. So one scripture cannot give us this test and say, okay, if it comes to pass, that's. Let's check the next one. Deuteronomy 13 verse 1. Look at it. He said, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign and a wonder, and the sign cometh to pass, as he saith, but he says to you, come, let us go after other gods. He said, no, that is not of the Lord. What is this one telling you now? So that means it is possible that someone can say prophetic words and the word will actually come to pass. Things will happen. Do you understand? But how can you measure? Since the previous verse says that if it comes to pass, know that it's from God. So now that it comes to pass, how can you still be sure? Because demons also can perform wonders. He said, this is how you know. If the prophet is intended to misdirect you, to take away your attention from God onto other gods, he said, you should know that that is a fake prophet. So now that is talking about the direction of the prophetic word. Where is the prophetic word taking you to? Like the girl in Acts chapter 16 verse 16. She was walking and she was following Paul. And she was telling the people, this man is a man of God. These are men of God, for they are speaking for God. She kept on saying that these are holy men. They are speaking the words of God. She was saying the right thing, right? She was speaking correct words, correct? But the Bible says, one day, Paul stood up and said, this thing is not of God. By the gift of discerning of spirit. So the gift of discerning of spirit is the gift that you will use to discern. That although this man is saying correct things, but the spirit sponsoring the words, sponsoring the information, is not God. So he said, this one is a familiar spirit. And he cast out the spirit from the girl. And the girl was free. And the owner of that girl came and they caused trouble for Paul. And that they were locked in prison. They said, why will you stop? Because that girl was a fortune teller. They were using her to make money. But she was speaking correct things. So that a prophet comes to say nice things and nice words from God, it's not a valid, it's not a final test that is from God. Are we together? So is the prophecy leading you away from God or to God? That's how you check. Any prophetic word that comes to you, is it leading me away from God or is it leading me to God? In this way, a manner you can discern that this is truly of God or not. So what is the final basic test to know that a prophetic word is from God? The validity of prophecy. In James chapter 3 verse 18, he said, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life and by his deed done in humility that comes from wisdom. But if you have bitterness and envy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come from God, does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, is unspiritual, is of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil thing. Finally, he said, but the wisdom that comes from above is first pure. Is first what? Pure, then peaceably, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits without partiality or hypocrisy. So we need to ask in this one now. He's saying you should check it. Does this wisdom come from God? The wisdom that comes from above is peaceable. That means it brings peace to your heart. It brings peace to your heart. It's gentle. It's what now? Easy to be entreated. Full of mercy and good fruit. Without partiality and hypocrisy. There's no envy. So we need to ask, what fruit is the prophecy producing? Is it producing confusion or bitterness? Is it producing malice? Prophetic word that will tell you that your mother is a witch. She wants to kill you. Your sister this and all that are causing enmity more and more among men. Prophetic word that tends to divide the church. That tends to elevate men more than God. Does this prophetic word promote love? Does it promote unity? Now, I know that there are prophecies that comes to you as form of rebuke. When prophecy comes in form of rebuke, it will not be sweet. Do you understand? It will not be sweet. It will not look like it's loving. But these are some tests you need to check. Apart from words of rebuke and words of correction that comes from prophets, you need to check what kind of peace it brings to your heart. What kind of love or unity it sponsors. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm supposed to talk about the role of prophets in the church, you know, characteristics of the prophet. But I think we should come here and pray. Characteristics of a prophet. Prophets have strong personality. They are direct, issue oriented. That means they don't have time, they want to just solve issues. They have authority and power. Their outward life is in order. Not like we have prophets today who are just after the pocket of men. So prophets are long time counselors. They cannot counsel people for long. They just want to go straight into things. What is your problem? They don't have time for long things. Are we together? So the role of a prophet in church is usually supposed to work with the pastor to help the office of the pastor, because pastor is concerned about the congregation and its members, but a prophet is concerned about the will of God. If a word comes that the pastor should rebuke somebody in the church or discipline somebody, the pastor will have mercy. But a prophet will go straight to the point and give him the word of the Lord that will bring him to repentance. But the pastor, because he's trying to protect his sheep, will not be able to rebuke like that. So it is the prophet that goes with that word. Are we together? So prophets are to work hand in hand with pastors in order to bring balance in the body of Christ. So prophets deal with the issue of sin. When there is a hidden sin, God may reveal it to somebody who is a prophet to go and deal with that issue, to point it out. Prophets could also be teachers of the law. In those days, we have teachers of the law. Jeremiah, Isaiah, these are people that wrote things. They were scribes. They wrote things out what they taught the people of God. But we should stop here tonight. Rise up on your feet. My eyes are open to see. Please. Can you sing? I didn't know that song. My ears are open to hear. My mind is open to speak. Of your love, my eyes are open to see, my ears are open to hear, my mind is open to speak. Of your love, my mind is open.
Mama.
It's open to speak. My ears are open. My ears are open. I'm not deaf in the spirit. My eyes are open.
Of your love, of your love.
My eyes are open. Lift up your hands as you sing this song. Your eyes. My ears are open.
My ears are open.
To hear. My mind is open. It's open to speak.
Of your love,
hey, 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 hey,
of your love.
Hey, my eyes are open. They are open. They are open. My ears are open. Prophets arise. Prophetesses arise. My mouth is open. It's open to speak. Hey,
of your love,
of your love,
of your love,
of your love. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus.
Jesus.
Let my eyes open.
Let my eyes.
Let
open.
My ears open.
Let my ears.
Let
open.
My mouth open.
Let my
in the name
open.
Of Jesus. Open your mouth and pray. I say, let my eyes. Let my eyes. Open. Let my eyes. Open. Let my eyes.
My eyes are open. Let you know, Mama Gadi.
In Jesus, mighty name of you pray. Everybody lift up your hands. I wanted to call 13 of you by the prophetic, but our time is gone. So I will pray a general prayer. You are going to align with it. And this night, you are going to be attached to visions and dreams and revelations. Father, in the name of Jesus, I command the ears of men to open. I command the eyes of men to open. I command the mouth of men to open. Let every channel of your spirit open now in the name of Jesus. 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 Rekoketeketeketeketeketa. Sata balata. Rakatatatatata. Sata batata batata. Rekete. Reketekete. Efata. 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 Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we pray. May you enter into your call as a prophet. May you enter into your call as a prophetess. In the name of Jesus Christ. Those of you that are not prophets, but are called, but you need the gift of prophecy, receive it now in the name of Jesus. Receive it now in the name of Jesus. I desire that all will prophesy. You will all prophesy in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name have we prayed. In Jesus' name have we prayed. Can you sit down quick? Just quick.
Hallelujah. In 1 minute, can we just stretch forth our hands to the set man? And we'll just say a word of prayer to him that the Lord will bless him the more. Can you just open your mouth and pray for the set man that the Lord has used to bless us tonight? More unction to function. More unction to function. We ask for more of God. In the name of Jesus. The hand of the Lord will be mighty. Will be strong upon you. In the name of Jesus.